this is what you're fighting for. I mean, every day you're out there.
What they're doing is blowing people off.
If you continue to look the other way and shut up, then the oppressors, the authoritarians, get total control and total power. Because this is just like in Arizona, this is just like in Georgia. It's another element that backs them into a corner and shows their lies and misrepresentations.
This is why this audience is going to have to get engaged. As we've told you, this is the fight.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room, Battleground. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, Friday, 8 March, year of our Lord, 2024. A lot to get through. I asked Dave Walsh to watch the speech last night. There's also been all types of articles out about the subsidies, about sustainability, where this is all going. You heard Coach Tuberville on the morning show say, look, you know, he's a reasonable guy, you know, level-headed, kind of, you know, that kind of tough common sense cussedness that Americans are known for, particularly Americans in the South and from Texas and that part of the West. And he said, look, I've sat up here with an open mind and heard it all. And he says, it's all a cult. He says, voodoo. It's not. He says, this climate stuff doesn't make any sense. And they never really bring up any expertise. And this stuff's passed and it's trillions of dollars. They don't know where it's going for. He says, it's all just a payoff for their buddies. So we asked Dave Walsh to look at the speech last night, to get in back of the numbers. He's our expert. So Walsh, given, and we had Bessent on too, the financial guy, saying, hey, their policy is a maximalist financial policy, fiscal policy of no return. They've just put the pedal to the metal. Is the same in energy? I mean, we can't turn this economy around until we become energy, full spectrum energy dominant like we were under Trump. Give us your assessment last night. Where do we stand? And is this madness going to destroy the country?
Yeah, we had the senile president yelling at us for 55 minutes nonstop. So let's get into a few of the things right before energy. I wanted to comment on one. The comments about Putin and stopping, issue number one, I'm going to tie this to energy, war by Putin, that we're going to be saved from him. We're going to stop his advance into other nations. We're going to prevent him from moving further. We're going to not bow down to him. You know, last week, just Friday, a week ago, the United States of America's NASA launched another joint mission with Russia into the global space station, the International Space Station. And guess what? We continue for now 18 consecutive months during this war, getting 54% of our yellow cake uranium supply for our reactors, our nuclear navy, our nuclear arms from Russia and allied states. No change, nonstop, along with this NASA mission. So, you know, folks get very curious the nature of why this emerges once again to issue number one, sending 60 more billion to a country who, you know, we're fighting Russia in this, supposedly. Russia is allied with China, to whom we will provide hundreds of billions of dollars of hardware procurement for our basic energy supply and electricity, lithium ion batteries and solar panels, as they produce 87% of the world supply of both in our going forward energy supply under his policies. We're actually egregiously supporting Russia ally China with those acquisitions of hardware for electricity under his policies. So, yeah, the Americans are very, very concerned and wondering why issue number one in this hollering match was supporting Ukraine further. So, you know, huge byproduct. The energy thing, I hate to keep harping on NextEra, what's happening in Florida. But let me describe, for example, what's happening here with 90,000 megawatts announced of solar subsidized by this federal government being installed here by this one utility. Now, I will say also, in fairness to them, this transposes across all the states in the country. The same kind of thing is going on, only more of it here. NextEra, to his point on the rich not being taxed more, NextEra will benefit over the next 20 years from $100 billion in tax subsidies provided for their solar and wind, but battery storage locations they'll invest in Florida. They're going to invest $300 billion in that apparatus here. $100 billion will be subsidized. So in terms of the rich getting richer and corporations now paying their fair share, no. They're getting back Duke Energy, NextEra, Dominion Energy, the EPC firms building these claptrap part-time intermittent renewable farms are benefiting enormously from federal subsidies, particularly the investors in them, who are major corporate Wall Street traded enterprises. Duke Energy, Entergy, PPL, Dominion Energy, Southern Company, but particularly NextEra, all benefiting from hundreds of billions in subsidies to build this kind of resource. What will happen here? In 20 years, if this is done, their revenue will double. Their EBITDA will grow by $2 billion a year, just related. Ratepayer costs will double, not inflation adjusted, but in real terms today, just because of this solarization that they'll build. Electrical reliability, on the other hand, will reduce by 45%. That's the net outcome of the net zero, good fellow with the presentation in five, net zero, less than net zero, economic value added of these Biden IRA programs with respect to energy, destroying value in the energy system electrically in less reliability, much higher cost for ratepayers, while the corporations doing this become enriched by subsidies. So all due respect to his corporations going to pay more in tax, less, more in taxes? No, not when you take into account the massive subsidies granted EV makers and particularly electricity providers coming up under his IRA.
I just want to pull the camera back from what you heard last night, or what you're telling us with all the analysis you put out. If they pursue this net zero policy, that we will not have the energy capabilities to really be a major industrial power unless the price of this just goes through the roof and the ratepayer is going to have to end up somehow paying for this?
Yeah, when you analyze the Booz Allen McKinsey Boston Consulting analytic of what's happening with electricity generation supply in this country with this fast growth scenario that we're into now on renewables, what happens over the next 10 years is we spend about $1.5 trillion in cost of new capital for power generation. In a time period, we'd normally spend about $700 billion. We're going to spend $600 billion, $1.5 trillion instead. And yet yield out of that across 10 years, only about a 5% increase in energy value of annual kilowatt hour production 10 years from now compared to now in our electrical generation capacity of power plants. Because 95% of what's going to be installed is part-time, part of the day, average 5-hour solar, average 7.5-hour a day wind, intermittent, also at the same time, part-time resources being the almost the entirety of U.S. utility investment in the next 10 years because of A, subsidies, but B, the attack by the EPA, his EPA, on any more gas-fired technology for combined cycle, any more coal-fired technology, yes, 100,000 megawatts of coal, baseload continuous duty coal being shut down to be replaced by, and that runs 100% of the time, replaced by part-time technologies. So we're only growing the electrification supply in kilowatt hours by about 5% and spending three times the money to do it, which will be, and $500 million of that passed to taxpayers in subsidies to support that. It's an insane set of policies. While we're supposedly electrifying everything on EVs, on home heating in the Northeast and upper Midwest, this is it's quite contrary, much more costly to the average citizen, and removing choice of having coal, nuclear, combined cycle gas power in the energy mix and transitioning to one choice, just like his position on electric cars, one choice meaning no choice for consumers, in this case, only renewable power, which is 4.5 to 10 times more costly than basic conventional power that we've very advanced power through advanced combined cycle plants, advanced nuclear plants, and very clean coal plants that we've become accustomed to. We're talking 4 to 10 times the CapEx cost of this new part-time stuff that works just a fraction of the day.
So we made the case this morning with Scott Bessent, of which he taught us the 3I program, but the 333. I think 3% economic growth, you get the deficit down, you just free spending, you get it down to 3% of the deficit from 6, you cut it in half, and you get 3 million barrels more per day in production. He said those threes, over 10 years, we can work ourselves out of this. His fear is that, he says, first off, if Trump doesn't win and Biden keeps up, it's over. And he says this as a hedge fund guy professionally. The other building block I keep arguing, so the fiscal irresponsibility and financial mismanagement is one, and that directly impacts people's lives. They now understand how the spending and the deficits drive inflation or killing them. The second component piece of this that is in stark relief, I mean, these are not close, is to make the energy argument of what has to happen. So you give me 2 minutes right now of your counter state of the union to Biden that should be the Trump playbook going forward, sir.
Now, we must continue to be or resume from 2020, resume putting our pedal to the metal on being a dominant energy supplier for the world, particularly with respect to oil and gas exports, which have been a hallmark of our attempt to save the deficit from being a mind-boggling problem with respect to ruining the value of our currency. The deficit today is $1 trillion in terms of foreign trade. We import $3 trillion, we export $2 trillion. $370 billion of our export value have now grown to be, largely under the Trump administration, oil and gas and related products of chemicals and plastics made from oil and gas, where now he's announced wanting to stall any new LNG or natural gas export facilities in the country for an 18-month timeout study of their viability for environmental reasons globally, adding to the global warming issue. No, this should be built on and encourage the fact of additional natural gas exports. Natural gas exports have not been ruinous to pricing here in the U.S. Natural gas is now only $1.80 a decatherm, 1/6 of what it was in the height of the Ukraine issue. So we've had continued highly competitive natural gas costs here. We can export on an unlimited basis, regain the geopolitical strength that gives us in Western Europe, supporting Japan, supporting Korea with natural gas exports. No, he wants to stop them and further widen the deficit. This oil and gas are our largest export product as a nation. Again, about $360 billion a year. And of course, you know, the deficit is in foreign trade a massive contributor to decline in value of the currency. And inflation Americans see every day in energy, which cascades through the entire economy. And he's pushing creating a wider deficit by stopping the export of natural gas from this country. It's a horrendous.
I just want to make sure that there's nothing close about these two energy policies. This is another bright line, hard line dichotomy, or one choice or the other. One will take you down one path, the other take you down another path. No doubt in your mind?
No doubt. And he presented, our good fellow on at five, the fact of the, these aren't just signals. What he's broadcasting through the EPA, through the DOE, are not signals. They're actual policies to shutter coal-fired power in the country, to shutter any more natural gas power in the country by 2035. If this massively expensive carbon capture or massively inefficient conversion to hydrogen fuel doesn't happen, he wants to shut down the remaining parts of our fossil energy base, which is tremendously ruinous. We need to grow that. We need to do what China's doing, and that's grow their electricity supply by about 70% based on more fossil fuels to compete with China, not to accept their mantra to buy more of their equipment, to buy more of their inverters, more of their solar panels, more of their batteries for battery storage. We ought to be creating our own energy from our own abundant natural gas. Export as much as we can also. Let our population become self-sufficient on oil, gas, and our related coal resources on a clean coal basis. We need to look at all this because these things would grow the economy, reducing energy costs, increasing energy supply. We're probably 3 million barrels a day behind in production where we would be had we remained in the Trump trajectory of not shutting down permitting on federal lands in Alaska, in the Gulf,
that
3 million barrels behind where we would be.
That number is exactly Scott Bessent's number. So the two great brains we got, Walsh and Bessent, come with the exact same number. Last question, because I got to bounce. I know you got to bounce. Coach Tuberville was pretty upfront. He said, look, I've been here for 3 years. I've heard it all. I've seen these committees. I heard the presentation. He said categorically that the climate change movement and the climate change cult up here is a complete and total fraud and a complete and total hoax. Your thoughts, sir?
I completely agree with the coach on that. He speaks with great wisdom. When you look at the science data and the number of actual scientists with actual heavy credentials, the chair of the physics department emeritus at MIT, physics professor Happer from Princeton, a variety, wide variety of Nobel Prize winners have indicated the actual hard science behind the minuscule quantity, which is, again, 0.0002% of the man-caused CO2 in the upper atmosphere having any impact on changing global temperatures. There is no case for that. That underlies all of this theory, which goes back to the Obama administration in its first 3 months naming CO2 a new harmful pollutant, where for 20 years it had not been one. Of course, mercury, NOx, nitrous oxide, heavy metals, heavy particulate, yes, harmful pollutants. CO2 is a naturally occurring element to the degree of 95% of it. It can't be abated. It comes from evaporating lakes, rivers, and ocean waters and rotting plant material in the main, in vast majority of it. So we can't abate it or stop it. Therefore, I mean, this whole issue of spending three times to four times more on electrification than we normally would, and converting to no choice for consumers to all EVs when we're not even building the electrification to support that is lunacy, but it's based on a fundamental theory that is not a correct one from a science basis. Tuberville speaking with wisdom.
Dave, how do people follow you?
You can reach me on Getter, at Dave Walsh Energy, and Truth Social the same. And I've been very active speaking more regionally on this topic as well, Stephen. Thank you.
By the way, so if people want to sign you up for a speech, we know you got your guys there in the production team that act as your agents. So how do they get to you directly?
There are numerous ways to reach me in the email, and I'm on LinkedIn for a variety of purposes. I can be reached that way. I can be reached on email, DaveWalsh@DakotaGroup.com. Good way to reach me in email. Go right out there in public.
Dave Walsh, thank you so much. Honored to have you on here. Great analysis. Okay, this case, you should know what we did, is that having done a lot of pick and shovel work over in Europe to assist or to help the populist nationalist movement there, and this came from my work with Nigel Farage for years and then culminating in Brexit and trying to support Nigel afterwards to have Brexit enforced. One of the things we wanted to do, and we saw a great need for, was really how do you train people up? Now, if you go back to right before CPAC and for all the Warren Posse that was there, we had this Force Multiplier Academy, and that was really to take a module of what we are trying to accomplish at this Gladiator School, the Academy for the Judeo-Christian West. It was to take it and just see off, you know, on a one-off how people respond to it. And particularly, we gave a whole full menu. I think we had, I don't know, 50 or 60 speakers for those 5 hours. 5 hours, one 15-minute break. We had room for 200 to 225. When I got there, room had 400. They let in another 100, stood in the back for the entire time. 500 people, nobody left. And the rave reviews we got on that shows us that we're on the right track. So here's the Gladiator School was the following. It was to have a three-part program. The first part is the teaching of the basics and fundamentals and theoretical part, the history, the art, the culture of our civilization, of the Judeo-Christian West. Why is it the greatest civilization in the world? And we say that this is empirical evidence. But we immerse you in that. We immerse you what this culture is, what I call Jerusalem, Athens, and Rome. And then, of course, obviously the modern part of that, but the ancient part of it that kind of grounds us and roots us. What is that? Why is it important? Why has it been resilient? Why has it freed more people, created more wealth, more happiness than any other civilization in the history of the world? Why has that happened? And why can those values and principles be promulgated into the future? Then part two of the training is the, I don't know, we'll put it in a very basic way, to weaponize you, to actually turn you into a information war warrior, gladiator, that in modern companies, in modern institutions, in modern politics, whether campaigns are actually governing, that you can be at the cutting edge with the understanding of media training, social media training, all of it, that you can really kind of take those ideas and take these concepts and make sure that you can promulgate them and particularly fight for them. The third part was a physical and mental part to make sure that you're tough enough and healthy as you can possibly be, all of it, and do that in one package. We have worked on this for years. We had to get through the court case first because what they did, as soon as we announced, and what they did, they put the monasteries up for auction, one of the great tragedies of the Judeo-Christian West in its heartland, whether it's the desert church or the church in West Europe. A lot of these magnificent architectural masterpieces are now vacant. You know, it was Reverend Hagee, Pastor Hagee down there in Houston, Texas, used to always say the problem in Europe is that the churches are empty and the mosques are full. That's true to a large extent, and particularly in Italy. Italy church attendance is dropping, and so every year the state owns all of these owns all the churches. After they had their secular revolution, I think Garibaldi and those guys back in the 19th century, they kind of seized church assets, kind of like what the French Revolution did. But those are now put up on auction because they can't maintain them. As long as you make a certain commitment for capital improvements, you can get into this auction process, of which we did. We got it. We returned to Gladiator School. The left-wing deep state over there, and this was a battle with the deep state, wanted to drive us out, but also just crush the whole idea of it and threaten to put Ben Harnwell, our own Ben Harnwell, in prison. So we spent a lot of money, many millions of dollars, and we fought it for 5 years. And Ben Harnwell never wavered and actually took the risk of going to prison like Peter Navarro. And we won. We acquitted on everything. And so now, having done, and we felt that this thing was going to come to a head, that's why at CPAC I took this whole day. I want to test one of these modules. The response has been overwhelming. It's kind of like with the show. What we have found out with the show is that if we give not just information, but maybe information you can't get into other places. You'd have to watch, like a lot of information you get here on capital markets and macroeconomics, you would actually have to watch Bloomberg TV a lot, not CNBC and Fox Business. I mean, it's much more sophisticated. CNBC's kind of become just companies talking about their stocks, right? And they give them softball interviews to try to prop the stocks, and they advertise later. It's pretty much a scam. Fox Business is not, I mean, mainly it's political commentary with a little bit of RNC talking points throughout the day. It's not really a serious channel with serious people talking about serious topics. You got Maria Bartiromo in the morning, and that's about it. In fact, Lou Dobbs is now over Lindell TV over here. In fact, follows us because it wasn't working for him anymore, given his sophisticated analysis. So what we found out is the more that we make information, that we take complex topics, and the more that we put them out there in a way that kind of raises the bar and makes you reach for it. It doesn't dumb it down. In fact, we make it a little harder. Audience respond. They want more of that. And audiences come up a learning curve. One thing we found since we started this with War Room Impeachment in late 2019, the fall of 2019, and going to pandemic, and then going to and basically into the general war room 2020, talking about the election, then everything afterwards, is that audiences have learning curves. Audiences get more sophisticated over time. The more access to information you have, the more that you have to. And we don't make everything self-explanatory because we want to bury the bone a little bit. And I keep telling you, go to this site, read this book, talk to this guy. This is social media. We're trying to bury the bone a little bit because we understand in the process, in your learning process, in your developing your own mental maps, you go up a massive learning curve. In fact, you get smarter. This is all just like in sports. Remember in sports and playing football and baseball, everything, basketball, it's about reps. You got to do reps. I think it was Glasser that came up with the theory you have to do something 10,000 times to actually become an expert in it. I can tell you from Mo, her experience playing volleyball, about 10,000 sets, and then you kind of really know what you're doing. You've worked through the problems. That's what we try to do on the show. We know now, and we're going to test modules a couple places, and I don't have the specific dates, but we're looking in Arizona. We're looking in Nevada. We're going to look in Colorado up there with Lauren Boebert, a couple others, maybe a couple in Colorado, maybe a couple in Arizona, in Nevada, to go test modules of this again to see how people respond to it. This is absolutely needed. What you have the Project 2025, of which Biden has said he's going to make that a major part of his campaign in 2024 to demonize Trump's policies and Trump's people that would be coming in to deconstruct the administrative state. We also know they need those warriors. I had a chance to speak to Sarab Sharma's group, American Moment, last night. These young warriors will be part of it, but you also have the Paul Dans, you have Project 2025, you got Johnny McEntee, you have what Stephen Miller's doing, you got the AFPI people, you got obviously Russ Vogt in that team. So you have a lot of people working on this, and now we want to bring in the posse, because not that you may be going to the Trump administration, but it'll make you even a better, not just citizen, but warrior for MAGA in on the precinct strategy, everything. The more knowledge you have as much knowledge as the people in the C-suites, you're going to be that much more effective. And so this whole fight is over these gladiator schools, because we know they fear them. They hate it. They will try to do anything to shut it down. And guess what? You are not going to win. You're not going to shut them down. One of the things we teach and one of the things we give you access to is capital markets, macroeconomics, how the economy works, fiscal and monetary. One way you can immerse yourself for free is with Birch Gold, birchgold.com/Bannon, the end of the dollar empire. Learn about currency. Learn about what the prime reserve currency is. Learn why the dollar is the biggest export the United States has ever had. Birchgold.com/Bannon. And talk to Philip Patrick and the team about precious metals. Short break. Back next. Tax Network USA is pure war room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers, and you don't. You'll pay up, plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on. Grind you for all your back taxes plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse. The apples in your holiday pie taste amazing, but it's not exactly the recommended 5 servings of fruits and vegetables. The Mayo Clinic says if you want to help prevent heart disease, lower blood pressure, and your cholesterol, eat 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day, which, as you know, is almost impossible. That's why you need to check out Field of Greens. Every fruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was medically selected by doctors to support your vital organs, like your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, and your immune system. Yo, folks, the holidays are here, and you need to stay healthy. Plus, you'll notice your skin, hair, and nails will look healthier. Field of Greens is the simplest way to get those daily fruits and veggies, and it tastes amazing. Let me get you started with 15% off your first order. Visit
fieldofgreens.com. Use promo code Bannon. That's promo code Bannon at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com. Make sure you take it today. Use your agency. Action, action, action. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code Bannon. True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. Done with Debt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer, and taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done with Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a Done with Debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room Battleground with Stephen K. Bannon.
You know, also Jim Rickards, I couldn't get Jim on today. We're trying to. We'll try to early next week. Jim Rickards, go to Rickards War Room. That's all one word, .com. You get access to Strategic Intelligence, which is his monthly newsletter. For you, for those of you out there that like our talk about geopolitics, national security, military, plus capital markets, macroeconomics, global economy, the dollar, he has a newsletter specifically talks about those type of topics. And that's one of the reasons he's one of our partners now. So go check it out. If you like that, this could be perfect for you. Strategic Intelligence from Paradigm Press. Best way to go is to rickardswarroom.com. That's got all the information. You can go check it out today. You will not be disappointed. We're huge fans of Jim Rick. In fact, I tell you folks that his book, Currency War, I think came out right after the crash of 2008. It came out in 2010, I think it was. And it was part of a wargaming exercise with Department of Defense and I think the good old Central Intelligence Agency. It's a fascinating book and it really got me thinking about currency in a totally different light than I had been taught at Harvard Business School. Brother Harnwell, we didn't have enough time. I've got a segment here. I want to walk through what you've been through for the last 4 or 5 years, why they immediately freaked out when they found out we're going to do when they understood that our Gladiator School was a really build a new generation of voice. And it's not just young people. We're going to take people of all ages. In fact, there's a lot of folks in their 40s that have done other things and saying, hey, now I want to shift. I really want to get involved in politics, or I want to understand how to become an information war gladiator. And whether it's in my cultural institution, my business, my entrepreneurial activities, or maybe even get a job at local government, a school board, everything, it's for all. But why did they freak out, and why did they threaten to put you in prison?
Steve, basically for three principal reasons, I would categorize them like this. The first one is that they couldn't respond to our arguments. It is a peculiar situation, though Americans will have some acquaintance with the reality, is that the mainstream media controls the nature of the debate. And in Italy, that is even more so. There's very little sunlight. There are very few cracks for the sunlight to get in. That's why whenever you were coming here to, I have to set the scene here for the posse. Whenever you came to Italy and you were speaking at events, there were throngs of journalists. Forget the crowds, forget the Italians. There were throngs of journalists, often 100 deep, around you. That you were bringing here to this country, to this peninsula, arguments that simply were not being made by any political party. And there was huge appetite for that. People saw what you'd done with the Trump campaign, and they realized that if those things were to take root here in Italy, it would be transformative. And Italy is a very important, culturally, it's a very important country in the European Union. So they couldn't respond to our arguments. And they had to, you know, the last thing that they wanted was under their very noses was this this gladiator school for cultural warriors in a region, Lazio, which is the region that surrounds Rome, controlled by the former leader of the Democratic Party. The last thing they wanted under their noses was this university of nationalism pushing out arguments that they knew they had no response to. So they had to shut this down one way or the other. And the best means available to them, and I compliment them, they did a very good job on shutting this down for 5 years, was lawfare. They just hit us with lawfare, with one legal action after another. And one legal action after another, we won. We were victorious. That's really, Steve, to interrupt myself, that's why we won. We won because we did not give up. Principally, you know, and that's, you know, when we open up, Steve, on the first day, that's got to be the first lesson. You are here today. The first lesson, you know, that we want you to appreciate is what happens when you do not give up. And so incredibly important.
Why is that important also? Before you go to the second thing, why is that so important? Not simply here in the United States. Why was that such an important lesson? Because this story is on fire throughout Europe. Why is it so important, particularly in Europe, which is quite different, at least culturally, from the United States? I mean, we share the same civilization, the same culture, but individual countries have it. But there's definitely a different makeup of people in Europe. And you can tell, hey, people, you know, your DNA at some point in time made a decision to come here. Obviously, some were without a decision, were brought here, right? But it's just different. This nation, just in having to get through life and having to do it on your own in a primordial forest, is different than Europe. Why was that lesson so important for the Europeans, that we're not going to back down, we're never going to stop, we're not going to quit?
Because as you indicate, a lot of what we're doing here in this academy, the protection of the Judeo-Christian West, the protection of the Judeo-Christian foundation of Western civilization, is coming back to Europe, having been percolating in the United States for the last 250 years. So we're not just basically trying to turn the clock back in Europe 250 years and pick up with some sort of late feudalist system. So let's return to this. We're trying to pick up these arguments as they have been embraced and transformed by the American experience. That's really very important to what we're trying to do, and why it's a full frontal attack on the European elites and establishments, because people here in Europe have very much a European mentality. You know, you've often said on the show, Steve, that America is a revolutionary power. We don't have that sort of psychology here in continental Europe. Sure, there have been revolutions, but those revolutions, all they've really effectively done is just decapitated one set of political leadership and replaced it with another to continue, if not exactly the same, even worse than what the predecessors did. The American experience of revolution is fundamentally different, almost sui generis. There aren't many examples that I can think of such a successful and transformative revolution as the American one. And what is the essence of that American revolution? Why are Americans so different from Europeans? Because they are, you know, if you buy into the idea of being American, if you are American and you buy in to that concept, which obviously Magnus has 110%, you're buying into this idea that you yourself as an American have a birthright to be the protagonist in your own destiny. You're not serfs. You don't have the feudal system of bowing down to a king and just accepting sort of your serfdom and accepting whatever is given to you. You expect the government to be your servant. You don't expect to be the government's servant, which is sadly the European experience. I say sadly the European experience is the very thing that America was formed in opposition to. It's obviously what a great proportion of America now sadly is diametrically opposed to. America has an enemy within problem right now. That's sort of extraneous, I think I can say, extraneous to the American tradition, what the Democrats and the left are pushing so heavily, really exceptionally heavily over the last couple of generations. Even the historic left in America didn't have any affinity with what the progressive things that the Democrats are pushing now, specifically on the poor generation So that's the European experience, and that is why they are terrified. It's why that the name Steve Bannon for Europeans is the monster hiding under the bed. This is the sort of thing that they absolutely have to stamp out and kill in the crib, because once it hits a critical mass, they're no longer going to be able to stop it. You know, that's one of Trump's. If you look at Trump, how he developed this position of absolute dominance in the GOP, it was because he didn't back down. It's because the more the corrupt elites attacked him, the more he didn't back down, the stronger he became. Because what people really want today in their political leadership is authenticity. And that's on the left as it is on the right. That is what our corrupt leadership in Europe can't provide. It can't provide authenticity, and it's absolutely terrified it. So I said that they can't respond to our arguments. And the other two points I think that follow on from that is that one of the things that this academy will do, now, we might not do our academy for the Judeo-Christian West Trizulti. I think the war room has, I think Denver has some B-roll just to play as I'm talking, just so the posse might have an idea of the complex we're talking about. We might do it elsewhere in Italy. We might do it elsewhere in Europe, right? But this was the project. One of the things that we wanted so keenly to do at this academy was to share. It's like sharing the flame, isn't it? It's like you have a small flame and you share it with other people, and then the flame sort of moves along. You're not inventing fire, you're just sharing the flame, you're sharing ideas that have worked. But one of the things that there are corrupt European elites here is that they're absolutely desperate. Part of what makes them desperate to maintain control is that we are not conceptually aware that we are in the middle of an existential war, and they, you know, that's one thing that they have to stamp out. They have to stamp out the possibility that a rebellion will grow in the ranks from the bottom up, and people will be aware that they are in the middle of an existential war. Because if you are not conceptually aware of that, how can you possibly win? It's a rhetorical question, right? The second reason they wanted to shut us down. And the third, Steve, is because of this thing that you mentioned constantly, almost on every edition of the show. It's about agency. It's about people having the ability and the desire and the knowledge that they can change their own destiny, change their own lives, take control of their own lives. So for these three reasons, Steve, to answer your question, this is why they had to shut us down. And as I say, like, I've been a political activist for the last 20 or so years, and just as a political activist, just watching how they shut us down, I can't help but respect it. They fought very, very heavily, very hard. They organised locally. They produced marches outside the monastery. They organised a number of interrogations in Parliament. They had investigative programmes on television, highlighting what they called irregularities in what they called them crimes, actually, in the tender, all of which was subsequently definitively overturned yesterday in the criminal court. And they fought very hard, right? And they did what the law, there was no, if you'd have asked me 5 years ago, are they going to be able to, in fact, you did ask me five years ago, is this going to have any traction? I said no, because there's simply no wiggle room in this, in the law. The law is 100% behind us on this. And yet they got us out. To this day, Steve, to this day, I have never been convicted in any court of any wrongdoing. And yet the Ministry for Culture was able, on the basis only of its own statements, to unilaterally annul a 19-year lease. So now that's been overturned yesterday. Or I should say, what has been overturned yesterday is in the criminal court, is that it has been affirmed that I had made no fraudulent statements in the tender. In previous other courts, it's been confirmed we had all the experience necessary to participate in the tender. We paid all the rent, we'd fulfilled all of our obligations. And therefore, there's literally no legal reason, Steve, no legal reason whatsoever that they don't immediately give us this lease back. But let's see. We're huddling over the next few weeks with our lawyers, and we'll work out what the best plan is to go forward.
But here's the thing also, I want to make sure people understand this, is that, and this shows you the neo-Marxist left and how the deep state works. Although it's self-evident that we would make capital improvements, 800-year-old monastery, it's in need of substantial capital investment to get it up to speed, to do anything. But also the local community would thrive because we had people there. There's almost so much room to house them on the campus. They'd have to be, some have to be housed outside, but the faculty, other people that work there. In addition, people just coming, visitors, you know, family members coming. The little village there would have exploded with economic opportunities. That doesn't matter to these people. They're not interested in that. They are purely what actually shocked me was how ideological they are, and they are impervious. They're impervious to evidence about economic growth. And this is one of the reasons I think you see in Europe, and particularly places like in Italy, there's not economic growth because it's just not in the mindset of the ruling class over there. The globalist elites and the ruling class are almost Marxist in their ability to have ideology and sociology in one area and economics in the other, and the economics just doesn't work, so they don't talk about it, they don't look at it, everything's ideological. Any discussion at all about, hey, this is the place, the part of the country is not getting a ton of investment, this is actually going to rejuvenate some place that's fairly remote and it could be economically beneficial, that's not in their wheelhouse. They will protest, they'll say you can't do it, because they fear the empowerment of people. They fear people actually having like you said, use your agency. The mindset is 1,000% different than most of the United States. I think we're seeing European politics come here. You can see this on the red-green fusion of what we talk about between neo-Marxist, radicalist left, and Sharia supremacist. But over there, it's pretty shocking to say that you can't even make an economic argument. They're impervious to that, sir.
Well, it's right, Steve. I would say that the local people, the local townspeople, the nearest town, I think, is sort of 8 kilometers away from the monastery. But the local town, the people there, they weren't in opposition to us. The mayor himself came out on whenever they had the left. The left bust people in. They bust the communists in. And they came out with all the placards saying, you know, you remember, Steve, it was Bannon, ban off, with your little face in a red circle with a red line through it, which the Italians thought was mostly amusing. So they had their hundreds of people, thousands of people coming in protesting with their little placards and little banners singing their little communist songs. And the mayor of Colleparo, the local town, came out and said, I recognize 2 or 3 people from this village. The village has like 1,000 citizens. I know a couple of faces. The rest of them, they've all been bussed in. So the local people had no natural opposition to us. But you're absolutely right when you talk about the Marxist mentality of the local ruling elite, because what they did was they kicked out the only entity that was interested in investing in this monument 2 years ago. Since they kicked us out, they haven't been able to give no one else will even take this monastery for no money, because they don't want the risk involved of it. Right. Even if the state would say we will look after the fabric of the building, no one would actually want to put their name to it because of the risk of that not coming through. So for the first time, literally, sort of in 800 years, Steve, this monastery is actually abandoned, and that's the state of it. And that is in a microcosm, an illustration of everything that is wrong with this country, with Italy, and how the left has just driven what is a beautiful country, what should be hands down the best European Union country, and they've turned it into basically a backwater where there's been zero economic growth. And it's literally been like 2.5-3% economic growth over a 20-year period. I mean, it's literally in standstill because the left have this control. So they kicked us out. We were going to invest in that monastery. It's not that no one wants the monastery. It's that in a culture where you can't be secure in investing in something, in order to get something out of it, no one will invest in it. That's really the issue. It's not that there's no one there, you know, that no one wants the monastery. It's that there's no yeah. confidence that you can invest in something when the left has this lawless power over private enterprise. Yeah. That's really the problem that Italy's in. As I say, it's a microcosm of everything that's wrong with this country.
Ben, we got to bounce, but we're going to try to get you back on tomorrow if you're available. And we're actually going to start talking about how we're going to do modules. We're doing many more tests here in the States, but this is a go project. as we figured out, we also, I think, have a country in Europe that is not just welcoming us, but saying you have to do it there. And we'll talk more about that. Ben Harnwell, how do people get you over the weekend on social media, sir?
Thank you so much, Steve. Get us my social media platform of choice. Simply tap in my surname, Harnwell, at Harnwell. And there I am with all of my great, sometimes edgy comments. Thanks, Steve. God bless.
Ben Harnwell, thank you so much. Well, as you can see, one of the things we're doing here, as you know, as the neo-Marxists that run our corporations, run the lords of, remember, they're not communists, they're neo-Marxists, they're atheists, agnostics, you know, cultural Marxists out to destroy us. We try to set up the alternative economy and back entrepreneurs. Michael Seifert and the team at Public Square. Go to publicsquare.com to check it out. They now have tens of thousands of companies offering products and services. You get to check it all out. And here's the best news. The app, the website, it's all free to you. It's all advertiser supported. So publicsquare.com, Seifert and the team. They are big time MAGA. This is the alternative economy. They're the new Amazon. So go check it out today. Also Birch Gold. But try to get Philip Patrick on the show tomorrow. If we can't do that, I'm going to do it myself. But birchgold.com/Bannon. Make sure you go talk to Philip Patrick and the team. Gold opened at an all-time high today at $21.90. That was because of Biden's speech last night. What the market said is that, hey, this guy's insane. This guy is going to spend money, as Scott Bessent said, it's a maximalist, no return policy, flying off to the abyss with the pedal down. That's why gold went up to all-time high. Remember, we're not here to give you personal financial advice. We don't need to. We can put you in touch with experts. Go talk to Philip Patrick and the team at Birch Gold, birchgold.com/Bannon. Tomorrow, Lou Dobbs follows us. We're back here live tomorrow. You know the Saturday show is one of my favorites. How do I get up for it early in the morning? Two things. Warpath Coffee. The Dark Rose is my baby. Warpath.coffee/war room. Make sure you get the huge discount by going check it out there. And of course, we got so much great feedback on grass-fed beef liver, sacredhumanhealth.com. Go immerse yourself in information today. Beef livers, grass-fed. Lou Dobbs next. We're back at 10 a.m. tomorrow in the War Room. For War Room veterans, you know we have been all over this supply chain issue with China and medications and the active pharmaceutical ingredients. China has a stranglehold on us. Where there's a way to break that. Jace Medical. I got an emergency medication kit from them. The FDA just declared a global shortage of medication and warned that critical antibiotics are in extreme short supply across the United States. But you know that because you're a viewer or listener of the show. Now, here's the action you can take to correct. Do yourself and your family a favor and get your Jace case right now. It's a pack of 5 prescription antibiotics you'll have on hand for common emergencies. Just visit jacemedical.com. That's Jace, J-A-S-E, jacemedical.com. Take a few minutes and fill out the form. Your information will be reviewed by a board-certified physician, and your medication will be dispensed by a licensed pharmacy at a fraction of the regular cost. You'll be glad you have the Jace case. Go to Jace Medical, that's one word, J-A-S-E, medical.com, and enter code Bannon at checkout for a discount on your order. That's promo code Bannon at Jace, J-A-S-E, medical.com. You know what the problem is because you've watched the show. You can take action and break that problem by going to Jace Medical and get your Jace case today. Action, action, action. .com, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Use the code WARROOM at checkout to save 67% of your first shipment. That's code WARROOM at checkout to save 67%. And do it again. Warroom Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. If you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.